Now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is
Abe. Hello, how are you, Aaron?
I'm doing good, but I'm in a competitive mode. Abe, how are you doing?
Competitive. I mean, when are we not hyper competitive on our show?
Exactly. That's the second way I described it. It's about films, and we're hyper competitive. That's what we say.
I don't think that there's been an episode where we've just been like, "No, I'm winning." It's like we're doing that all the time.
Well, now is a film podcast. We're aiming to discuss new movies weekly. However, every now and then we like to have these special bonus episodes, whether it's one of our fun commentary tracks or something completely different. And this is something a little different, but more of the same for the year as far as what we're talking about, which is, of course, Hollywood's biggest night, the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
The 97th Academy Awards are upon us. We're recording this on the Thursday coming up to the Sunday of the awards.
That's right.
And oh boy, are we excited to see this award season end so we can move the fuck on for 2024, but also to see what wins the big winners at the Academy Awards coming this Sunday. And that's what we're doing right here. We're going to go over our predictions for the 97th Academy Awards. Very exciting. And joining us to do such thing, we have from Fast Film Reviews, he's still here with the Nickel Boys, Emilia Perez and Nosferatu, and a wicked conclave of mostly complete unknowns. It's Mark Hoban.
Hey, yeah, it's great to be back and discussing the Oscars with you guys.
For sure. Happy to have you here. I know, for various reasons you weren't able to be with us last year, but I'm happy to have you back with us so we can talk all about the Oscars, because I know you like to talk about the Oscars, and we like to talk about the Oscars with you. So this should be fun.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is exactly what I just said. We're going to go over our predictions. We have 23 categories, and we're going to go over them as slowly as possible. That's not true. We're going to go over them very quickly.
We're going to work our way up to Sunday.
Yeah. But we're going to go in descending order, but we're going to go start at the bottom as far as the kind of which awards, sure, and work our way up towards the big ones, so to speak. So to just kick things off, let's start with the shorts. The make or break for a lot of Oscar pools, some would say.
It's true, yeah.
Because
it's been a factor for the last couple Oscars for our pool.
Forever, the least predictable ones, honestly. So let's do it. Live action short film. The nominees are Alien, Anuja, I'm Not a Robot, The Last Ranger, and The Man Who Could Not Remain Silent. Mark, have you seen all the live action shorts?
I have. I have seen every single one of these.
Nice.
All right. What is your pick? What do you think will win the Oscar for Best Live Action Short?
I'm going to go with, is it Alien or
Alien? Lean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
a space.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Alien.
Okay.
Yeah.
Abe, how about you? What do you have here?
I have not seen any of these, but I did a lot of research on all of them, and including watching all the trailers and kind of reading some reviews. But I am also going with Alien.
All right. Right away. A difference here. I'm going with The Man Who Could Not Remain Silent.
That's on my should win.
But you haven't seen them.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard great things about it as this, you know, wartime train drama.
You would assume that if it's a should win, it would be something you might have seen, but I don't know.
Well, Mark, what would your would win or should win be if you had to pick?
You know, I think I actually responded most to Anuja.
Sure.
Mainly it's more heartwarming, but I did kind of respond to it, and it has a sweet ending that kind of doesn't exactly explicitly tell you how it ends, but it's clear how it ends based on what they present.
Yeah. It's also got some good backing from EPs and distribution.
Yeah, it's got that. I mean, as far as factors of why it could win, sure.
Right.
Mindy Kaling's a producer.
Right.
I like 95% of I'm Not a Robot, which I think puts it
right
where my should, mm-hmm, like, because I like what it's doing, even though I don't think it's quite nails it in the end.
Sure.
But I still really liked what it was doing.
Ask me my thoughts on it, Aaron.
What are your thoughts on I'm Not a Robot, Abe?
Great trailer.
So I love that I Am Not a Robot actually taught me that CAPTCHA means completely automated public Turing test to tell computers and humans apart.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that
I should watch this short film.
It's a good one for the most part.
Yeah, it has a very clever beginning, and I agree. I think it starts out really good.
Yeah. Where is it from? Like, what language are they speaking again? It's like some Nordic country, right?
I believe it's Norwegian.
Okay.
No worries. But we can keep going because there's only so much logic we can apply to why we're picking these, I think. I think Alien does have a lot of relevance socially. I can understand why that would be picked. Yeah. I think The Man Who Could Not Remain Silent also has things going on that could matter, but we'll see what happens. Let's go to the next one, which is Best Live Action Animated Short Film. We have Beautiful Men, In the Shadow of the Cypress, Magic Candies, Wander to Wonder, and Yuck! Mark, what do you have picked here?
Yuck!
Hey, oh!
That is my pick. I really like... This is my should win and will win.
Okay. Abe?
I like that pick. I picked Wander to Wonder, and I think my should win, I chose Magic Candies. I've heard great things about Yuck, though.
I like this set of films for the most part, although...
I think In the Shadow of the Cypress is probably the most depressing, but everything else is pretty fun.
Ish. You haven't seen all of them. I mean, by default, Cypress probably is the most depressing in terms of what's happening in it, though Wander to Wonder is a pretty bizarre one. But by the way, mine is, I do want In the Shadow of the Cypress to win.
Okay.
And that's my... will win, I guess, as well.
Oh, interesting. We've
differed on two categories already.
I like the way In the Shadow of the Cypress looks. It's a very simple animation, but very appealing. Like, it kind of drew me in. I did appreciate it. I will say that there's a lot more, not that one, but there's more penises in these entries than I was expecting.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And in the stop animation ones, no less. They're like, someone really had to sculpt that. Look around.
Everybody has a job, Aaron, okay? Jeez.
There was a good part of me for a while with Wander to Wonder, which is like the most bizarre one, which is the one I usually flock towards. Where I was like, this is wild. Like, I'm really interested in where this is going. And it's not the penises that scared me off, but it's more like, then it kind of keeps getting darker, and I'm like, oh boy, it's rough. I saw the shorts in theaters, the animated ones in theaters. I watched a lot of Acting Home, but I watched the animated shorts in theaters, and it notably has the first three Magic Candies, Yuck, and In the Shadow of the Cypress. It plays those three, and then it's like disclaimer comes up, and it says the following features more adult content or whatever. Like, gives you an advisory warning that the next two are gonna have. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm so like used. I'm like, that probably means there's gonna be penises in
there. Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna be like, it's gonna be a lot of blood or something.
No, it's like that probably means there's a lot of penises. That probably means there's full frontal nudity.
Full frontal. NYPD Blue, we're back, baby.
So Wander to Wonder and Beautiful Men, these are the shorts we're talking about. It's not done in a way to titillate or anything.
It's very European.
In that sense,
as far as people just, casually wander around. In the same way that when Challengers had a graphic nudity warning, I'm like, that's probably because Luca Guadagnino has some locker room scene where a guy has a ding dong out in the background.
100%.
And I was like, oh, nailed it.
And you know what? You got it right. Yeah. My number three movie of the year.
Proud of that. I'm proud of calling the ding dongs in Challengers. Put that on a t-shirt.
Aaron Neuwirth, ding dong finder.
All right, next one. Documentary short film. Death by Numbers. I Am Ready, Warden. Incident. Instruments of a Beating Heart. And The Only Girl in the Orchestra. Mark, what do you have for your will win on the documentaries?
Sure. I'm going to go with The Only Girl in the Orchestra.
Okay.
Spoilers, I'm also going for it. Abe, where are you going?
Oh, I'm going with I Am Ready, Warden.
Also a good pick.
Yeah, which is the Texas tragic case and kind of the things that come after the fact. But The Only Girl in the Orchestra, pretty fun to watch and pretty great to see all that stuff unfold.
Yeah, it's uplifting and... probably, let's see, these is also, I have seen three of these. Mm-hmm. It is definitely the most happy of the three that I saw. So I think that's what kind of pushed it over the edge for me.
Sure. Yeah.
That's where I'm at. Like, it's a, you know, it's a crapshoot as far as like trying to find the logic for these things. Mm-hmm. And I think I am Ready Warden, I think, is like, I think it's between those two, honestly. But
okay.
We've said that before and we've been wrong. So I don't
right.
know.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, I do think Incident is very, very good.
Yeah, that's my should win.
I'd very much love that. Love to see that win, if not just for the fact that, hey, you got an Oscar, but also there could be like action taken based on what happens in that film that would be supported based on an Oscar win that would get it more attention.
I think the thing with Incident is that I think that I'm happy that Hollywood Reporter isn't doing like the anonymous service anymore, but Variety is like doing some of these anonymous things.
There's plenty of anonymous ones around.
Yeah, but it's just been disheartening to see these like Oscar voters being like, I didn't even fully watch, you know, something like Brady Corbet's The Brutalist because it's so long. So something like Incident, where a lot of it is CCTV, where there's no audio. I can see how it could be like, ugh, what? I'm just going to look at my phone. It's like, guys, be serious about what you're voting on here.
I'd like to hope that the branches in like short films would at least acknowledge, yeah, we came in to watch shorts. That's literally our job.
Right.
We should expect to be watching shorts.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing that makes Incident kind of unique is that often these films are footage that a filmmaker has intentionally set up the camera and say, okay, I'm going to film this. Yeah. Incident is presenting footage that was almost recorded, I mean, obviously with the knowledge of the people, mm-hmm. but done in a way that you start to actually capture real life in a way that almost like they sort of forget that it's being filmed.
That makes it
sort of unique.
It's a fantastic exercise in editing for sure. And also,
yes.
And it's not just what the cameras are capturing, but notably what they aren't capturing based on body cams and how those are utilized.
I definitely want to echo the editing part because they're layering on audio with like the CCTV footage and it works. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, it really builds this story in your head.
And they show the same scene from a couple different vantage points too, which kind of helps you understand. Because it starts out, and at first I was rewinding it because I had a screener, and I'm like, what happened there? But you don't really need to do that because it will provide multiple vantage points, so it's very effective.
It also, and not to just keep stumping for Incident, but it also leaves the victim on screen for the duration after it takes place. And I can understand that making someone uncomfortable, but I also think it's the right choice as far as not losing focus on what we're dealing with here. All right. So let's to pep things up a little bit. Let's go to visual effects.
Hey,
here we go. Category nominees for best visual effects are Alien, Romulus, Better Man, Dune Part Two, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and Wicked.
Why did you say that like John Travolta?
I was channeling John Travolta.
Oh, okay, all right.
And I hope he presents for this category. Mark Oben, what do you have for visual effects?
I'm going with Dune Part 2.
All right, Abe?
I'm going with Dune Part 2.
Dune Part 2. I think this is a pretty sure bet. That said, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes did pick up some awards.
Yep, yeah.
Along with Dune has picked up more awards. But wouldn't it be nice to finally see one of these Planet of the Apes movies win an Academy Award for their visual effects?
Yeah, I think it would be. I mean, I've seen some of the behind-the-scenes stuff as bonus footage, and it's pretty amazing how much they had to do. So, you know, like Dune Part 2, though, I want crowning achievements for Dune Part 2.
Yeah, and I loved Dune Part 2. It was one of my favorite films of the year, so I would like it to win something.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I think the effects, like all of these, maybe except for the Wicked, I think are stellar.
Wicked, I'm not sure.
Stellar from a visual effects standpoint purely. I think these are all really strong entries. I like that there's two Apes movies that are in
this
category as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. Let's get to best sound, which is still one category and still frustrates me. We have.
But Aaron, it makes much more sense for the voters now.
Educate yourselves. We have here for sound A Complete Unknown, Dune Part 2, Amelia Perez, Wicked, and The Wild Robot. Mark, What do you have for best sound?
So the fact that this is now one category does complicate matters a little bit. There were two films that I was kind of vacillating between, but I'm going to go with Dune Part 2.
Abe?
I am also going Dune Part 2.
Yep, I have Dune as well. Yeah. Once again, so, it's won some awards already. Yeah. A lot of precursors.
The other film that I was sort of thinking could possibly be is Wicked, because it is a musical, and that's often a sound winner.
Yeah, very similar thoughts there. I had I was thinking about A Complete Unknown too, Mark, just for a lot of the music stuff that they are doing in that movie.
If A Complete Unknown was, if it was up for sound, if there was still sound editing and sound mixing, right. I do think mixing would have a really good chance of winning, where Dune, sound editing, I think, would be its play there, because they tend to go to like action movies for that category and musicals for the other. That said, Wicked and Complete Unknown, I mean, they're both music. Amelia Perez too, for that matter. I mean, this,
that's true. Yeah,
it's a heavy, and Wild Robot has lots of interesting sounds. There's, it's a heavy category, but I do think.
This is probably one of the. It's a decent category.
It's a strong category as far as like what kinds of films you would see and for on audio for sound. It makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
But I do think Dune has the edge here. All right. Production design. We have The Brutalist, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Nosferatu, and Wicked. Mark, what do you have for production design?
I'm going to go with the big splashy musical, Wicked.
Abe?
I am also going Wicked.
I have Wicked as well. We could all agree.
This is a strong category for sure.
It's a strong category, but Wicked is a very good bet.
Wicked's got a lot going for it. My should win, I chose Dune Part 2 because I'm just like, let Dune win all the below the line categories.
Below the line?
Yeah.
If I had a should, I'd go The Brutalist, because designing that building is so key to that film, and I love like have them bringing it to life in its own way. I think it's just such a cool thing about that film.
Would go with Wicked as my should and will.
I'm sure it's your favorite movie last year. I get it. They made Oz for you. I understand.
Yeah. They made a train. It was real. That's what John.
Yeah, they made a big old train.
You know, and there's a lot going on in that movie. So I definitely get it too. Nosferatu, a lot of the stuff going on. There's a lot going on in all these movies.
I was going to say the whole category is really good. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of wonderful stuff going on.
Yeah, I've never been to the Vatican or any of the meeting rooms, but
Been to the Vatican meeting rooms?
No.
You haven't been there? You get that invite?
No, Pope Francis didn't invite me, so I didn't get that invite for our podcast to go record.
You didn't pull a Euro trip and make your way in?
R.I.P. Michelle Trachtenberg.
Jeez. All right. Next category we have is costume design. We have A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Gladiator 2, Nosferatu, and Wicked. Mark, what do you have for costume design?
I am going with Wicked.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I am also going with Wicked.
It's a Wicked landslide, I think. Yeah. I think that has the lock here for costume design. It's won a lot of precursors. It's big and splashy and colorful. It's both a period film and a fantasy.
That's true. Yeah, good point.
And Aaron, as you have mentioned before, that hat is really cool.
It's a cool hat. Everyone else in that room should be jealous of her.
That's true. Yeah. And then they do an no dialogue dance to it.
Yeah, and they kind of turn the tide in that scene.
They do. I just don't know. Like, I don't know how you walk into that room and all these people are like, "We should laugh at that because that's ridiculous." Like, what are you? She looks amazing.
It makes so much sense.
Looks amazing.
They've known about a witch for their whole lives, right? So come on.
I
should win as Nosferatu, by the way.
All I'm hearing is racists suck. That's my takeaway from that scene. Like, it makes no sense. Yeah, you're doing it anyway. That's the core racism. Should win. I don't know. Those are all pretty good.
All pretty good. I'd love Nosferatu to get some love.
I do think the Wicked costumes work probably really, really, really well among these nominees. I'd probably go that way.
Yeah.
Probably because I'd nominate something else in this game. No, if I had my way, Hundreds of Beavers would be in here easily for costumes.
Okay. Yeah. We gotta incorporate for the next year. Like, who was the missing nominee?
Yeah, if you check out my full written post, I do have my should have been nominated in all these categories as well, because that is fun to do.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have makeup and hairstyling. This category, we have A Different Man, Amelia Perez, Nosferatu, The Substance, and Wicked. Mark, what do you have for makeup and hairstyling?
I am going to go with The Substance.
Abe?
I'm also going with The Substance.
I have the substance as well. We are really locking
Yeah,
step for both of
lockstep
these,
here.
for these technical categories. Yeah, what again, like a lot of this is, for me is just based on it's won a lot of precursors. It makes a lot of sense. I do think if Demi Moore is getting awarded this much, a lot of that comes from the fact that she is in heavy makeup for a good portion of the film as well, which makes a big difference. That's not to say these other films don't have their share of makeup as well, but I
I
do
mean
think
the last like I don't know 20, 30 minutes of that movie it's
relying
like
on
a feat of makeup.
yeah, it's incredible achievements. Yeah. What could you be talking about, Mark?
Just yeah, to the listeners, watch the
Go
film
watch
if you haven't.
it. Yeah.
I will say, I mean, Wicked, you have a character that's entirely green for the entire movie.
Sure.
And there's a lot of hair stuff going on. If the Academy just loves Wicked, it certainly, could be a sweep in the technicals and take that too.
Possibly, yeah, especially if
Possibly.
it's not going to get some above the line stuff.
Nosferatu is, it's the character is all makeup. That's a big part of
Yeah,
it as
I
well.
mean, one of your favorite scenes, the last scene is just like all makeup.
And one of my other favorite scenes is just like those animated shorts, just a lot of penis in
Prosthetic, yeah.
there.
I think that he kept that from the set, didn't he?
No, he gave it to Nicholas
Oh, he,
Holt. Nicholas
oh.
Holt has it framed.
As a
It's
parting
really
gift? Yeah,
funny.
that's nice. Yeah.
A Different Man, I just love being in here. That'd be my would by
Yeah.
should win because I really like
Okay.
that that's nominated for an Academy Award because I think that's just great. And that, especially given what that movie's doing with Sebastian Stan's character who, in makeup versus Adam Pearson, who's great in the film, but is clearly, that's just how he is. I think there's thematic things going on that I think really make a lot of sense. But you can say the same about a lot of these movies, honestly. So.
Yeah. Like Adam Pearson, not nominated for supporting or best, but he's been doing some campaigning on his own, and it's been really fun to see online.
Because he's such a great personality. Like,
Yes,
it's just
yeah.
because I just want to see him in more stuff because he's just fun to be around. He's not so depressing. Like, I don't know, Jeremy
Randy
Strong. Corbett's
Corbet?
having a good time. Jeremy
Corbett's having a good
Strong,
time. He's just
though.
like, I'm not making any money though.
Who, looking at my list, that boring James Mangold is just sitting there with his goatee and being all like, I make good films.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He makes box office movies.
Let's move on. Film
Yes.
editing. We
Okay.
have here Anora, The Brutalist, Conclave, Amelia Perez, and Wicked. Mark, what do you have for film editing?
I have Conclave.
Conclave. Abe?
I also have Conclave.
Another. We're going to be really lock and step here, guys.
It's gonna be, it's getting a little bit, super the same soon.
Well, we'll see what happens by the time
Yeah.
we get over here. But Conclave won the BAFTA. The
Right.
Eddies, which is the editing like association award, they're notably not until like the weekend of the Oscars, I think, this year or something. So it's
Okay, so
there's not
like,
a precursor there.
right.
It's usually, a very helpful sign, but we don't have that going on for us. Depending on what you have for Best Picture, you certainly could be
Right.
concerned as to what lines up with what. Like if you have Anora for Best Picture, you might think, hey, that should probably win Best Editing too. Though Conclave, also certainly a strong contender. Brutalist, certainly, certainly a
Yeah.
contender as well. Mark, did you have any logic for Conclave or?
Well, I mean, I know the runner-up in this category is typically is Anora, but I actually thought that was one of the deficiencies of Anora that it did kind of go on a little bit too long in the
Sure.
middle part. So I just, from a personal standpoint, I just thought Conclave really was the best edited film of this group.
I think as a thriller, it's certainly to
Yeah.
make a movie like this that's, a PG film about the Pope and make that
Yeah.
into like
Well, the new
a
Pope.
the
Something exciting.
it's slightly young. Something, yeah, making something exactly. So making something exciting. That
Yeah.
is, a good deal that has to do with the editing of the film to begin with.
Yeah.
I will say, as far as Anora goes, Sean Baker is the editor on the film.
That's
The
right.
director doesn't. It's very rare that the director wins for best editing as well. It's only happened a couple times, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, which is also makes me like think, well, probably not happening. But.
Yeah. My should win is The Brutalist, chiefly because that movie is edited very well. I think a lot of people are kind of just like editing is, how you make things more interesting. It's like it's pacing, it's shot selection, it's a lot of things that help the movie, a 2.5 hour, 2 hour and 50 minute movie feel like it's completely engrossing and really, really well done. Conclave, again, same argument, right? You know, it's like a 2-hour movie. It moves very, very quickly as well. And the way that you're able to be thrilled by it is nothing to scoff at.
Brutalist would be my should win as well. That said, it's funny that Conclave is the shortest of these movies, and we all picked it to win. Shortest by a half an hour.
You know, when it's winning all these awards, you kind of have to go with it.
All right. Next up, we have Best Cinematography.
Okay.
Cinematography, we have The Brutalist, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, Maria, and Nosferatu. Mark, what do you have for cinematography?
Let's see. Wait, where did I find this one? I have The Brutalist.
Abe?
I also have The Brutalist.
I have The Brutalist as well. It's a striking film. And mm-hmm. It's a strong category, honestly.
Great cinematographer name.
I would love to see Nosferatu win. I think that was one of the best things about that film was the look. And so,
My should win.
It's like my I have Brutalist as should win too, but it's certainly I think Nosferatu is the closest competitor. Maria though, Ed Lockman
That's an interesting nomination there too for Maria its only nomination, right?
It's its only nomination. And it shines in that area because same with like Jackie and Spencer. His choice is very deliberate as far as the looks of those films, regardless of how you feel about them. Yeah. Nosferatu, I mean, to its credit, the Academy did nominate it for 4 awards. Like, it does like Nosferatu, it would seem. So I don't think it's out of the running entirely in this race. I do think if The Brutalist didn't win, I think Nosferatu would have a good shot of picking something up like this just because it is so stark and atmospheric.
But I think it also, Nosferatu kind of relies on some of the cinematography as like this other character to help you. Yeah. Go through the tunnels, go through the castle. Like, I love the shot where he's at the crossroads and then all of a sudden, like, the camera just pivots and he's all of a sudden in front of a castle. It's like, it's pretty amazing stuff. So good job by them.
Yeah. Eggers films, they really, you know, his sensibilities really lean on like what the camera's capable of to get across his, you know, his atmospheric emotional feelings for about his movies. So
are they going to be doing clips for these below the line categories or just the above the line stuff?
We won't know until we know.
Okay. Cause I can't wait to see that upside down Statue of Liberty.
I'd love to see it. The only thing I know we won't have is performances of the songs. That's the one thing I know.
Yes. Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
They will sing other songs though, because that's how the crazy Oscars like to work. Why hear the things nominated for Academy Awards when you can hear Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo sing whatever the fuck?
Well, I assume it's going to be songs from Wicked.
Yeah, which, you know, none are nominated because they can't be.
Did not even think about this, and now you've ruined my night.
I mean, they're there. I get it.
I mean, I like a song, but also I'm just like, you know,
I'm happy to hear the songs. It's just like, if you nominated it for being the best of the year, you kind of think you'd want to hear it on Oscar night, right?
Some people have places to be.
Hey, you know what? We can't talk about Bruno.
Exactly. The best song that was not nominated.
Not nominated. All right. Speaking of songs, best original song.
Okay.
We have El Mal from Emilia Perez. We have The Journey from The 6888. By Diane Warren. Mm-hmm. We have Like a Bird from Sing Sing. We have Mi Camino from Emilia Perez. And Never Too Late from Elton John, Never Too Late, a song that I'm sure we all know very well from a documentary that I definitely knew existed the whole time.
It's never too late.
I hope that's how it goes.
Mark,
what do you have for original song?
So I have the 13th time nominated film Emilia Perez with El Mal.
Abe?
This is a tough category. I'm also going El Mal, but Diane Warren. Jesus, man.
16th nom. 16th time the charm.
Like, is this the time? Is this the one?
Is it her time?
I'm picking El Mal. If there ever was a time where Diane Warren might squeak in, this is the time, actually.
And so I'm really I'm going with El Mal. I'm going with El Mal.
Yeah.
I'm going with El Mal as well. It's the one where I hesitated a bit when I realized, like, I was so focused on the Diane Warren part that I forgot that the song was sang by her, and she won an Oscar already previously. That doesn't necessarily mean like automatically she's going to win another Oscar, And she wouldn't have been for Diane Warren. But I was so focused on the Warren part that I'm like, oh, it's her singing it too. Like, that's fun. I like that.
Yeah.
But we won't get to hear it at the Oscars, of course. That would be stupid.
No song. This is going to add 30 minutes to the show, Eric.
Why put an Oscar-winning R&B star at the Oscars to sing the song they're nominated for? Nonsense, yeah. I say.
Exactly.
Get it out
during the commercial break.
Elmal's won awards already. It's the first winner in this category. But The Journey, yeah, if they're... The other thing we haven't talked about, Amelia Perez, you know, it has its share of controversy around the film itself. If that rubs off in any way, that is the kind of area that it could, you know, detract from. Like,
sure.
You know, why are we voting for these songs if we're...
If we don't like the movie.
If we're against this person involved in the movie or what have you.
Yeah.
That said, I'm still I'm still picking them all for original song. Let's go to original score. Here we have The Brutalist from Daniel Blumberg, Conclave from Vocal Beltelman, Amelia Perez from Clement Ducal and Camille, Wicked from John Powell and Stephen Schwartz.
Why did you change the voice?
You don't like code switching on the podcast?
Code switch.
And The Wild Robot from Chris Bowers. He's black. So Chris Bowers. Mark, what do you have for original score?
I have The Brutalist.
Abe?
I have The Brutalist.
Yeah, I got The Brutalist. Well. Yeah. They can't really play up the drama. Well, we all have the same thing. Yeah, Brutalist. Won a BAFTA, won a lot of things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do. The lack of challengers here, which absolutely should have been nominated, should have won.
Totally.
I think it did like throw this a bit in the ray. It's like, well, now what? What do we do now? But it seems like The Brutalist just kind of popped out at the top as far as the potential here.
Yeah.
Mark, any thoughts on?
I mean, I like this score for Conclave. So,
yeah,
I mean,
it's a great score.
Yeah. But The Brutalist, I think, has the edge here.
I even like the score for The Wild Robot. You know,
it's a great score.
There's like some really good things going on there. Chris Bauer is well known by the Academy as well. But The Brutalist is like, it's very powerful. Like the opening sequence, the bus stuff, like it really helps move and create a sense of
very ominous.
That's true too. Yeah, especially like in like the third act.
So. It arrives in a way where like it already feels iconic when it like starts up and you start hearing the horns and things. I'm like, all right. But yeah, Conclave, I mean, Volker Bellman, he won for All Quiet on the Western Front. Like, that was a great score, too. I mean, maybe he could repeat. We'll see what happens. I'd certainly say he's the biggest competition that Brutalist has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Now we're going to documentary feature film.
Okay.
Here we have Black Box Diaries, No Other Land, Porcelain War, Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat, and Sugarcane. Mark, what do you have for documentary?
I have Superman, the Christopher Reeve story. Oh, wait, that wasn't nominated. Sorry. I'm going to go with No Other Land.
All right, Abe?
I'm going with No Other Land.
I have Porcelain War.
Okay.
That's my pick here.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys speak first, though. Why No Other Land?
Well, so for me, it's just the timeliness of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. I think that subject matter is very of the moment.
I think that's part of it too, but I know that it has it's been quite people have been quite ambivalent about it too. Porcelain War, I totally understand as well. It's about the Ukraine Russia invasion, and so that has its own current significance too. It's a weird thing to talk about in terms of like, oh well, it's current, so it must make sense. But I think No Other Land also has been getting a lot more. I think there's like. It hasn't really been distributed by anybody in the U.S., but it has people are aware of it. And so they've kind of it also won for Independent Spirit. Right.
Spirit Award.
Yeah. So it's been gaining some traction. That's kind of where I am.
Yeah. I'm at Porcelain
War. Again, divisive.
I'm at Porcelain War because I do think both. Not that, you know, can't weigh a conflict against the other, but they're both relevant conflicts.
Right.
And Porcelain War is just. It's more available. Like you just mentioned it. No Other Land has no distribution. I just wonder, have enough people like seen it to like vote for it in that sense.
Yeah.
And I do think Porcelain War, because of what it's doing, where it's involving these artists that are happen to be involved. I think there's something that's, it grounds it in a certain kind of way that I think might be more acceptable, where No Other Land is so it's very intense. But documentaries, what they're all over the place. Who knows what could happen here?
Right.
I know Sugarcane has a lot of love too. It won an award at Sundance last year. It's very well liked. It deals with also significant things involving indigenous people, or what have you. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's right in there as well. I'm currently watching Black Box Diaries. I'm like halfway through.
It's a tough watch, right?
It's a tough fucking watch. Yeah,
not great.
And I really like that. Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat would be my winner. I really like that one a lot.
You know, it's funny, this documentary feature, it fluctuates between sort of lighthearted, like, uh-huh, you know, my octopus teacher, yeah, and right. Summer of Soul was basically an uplifting thing.
By comparison, yeah.
Yeah, and then you have things like Navalny and 20 Days in Mariupol, sure, right, which are not uplift. I mean, they're serious and you know, weigh on you. So right. I think this year I'm going for something that kind of weighs on you, but that's actually seems to be most of the category this year.
Yeah, none of these are, there's not a lot of happiness in any of these documentaries this year. Sugarcane is something to kind of root for. And Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat is about, you know, an assassination attempt, but also it's also jazz music for.
Right, right. Two, right.
Hours.
Yeah. Louis Armstrong.
So how's that going for
Nina
it?
Simone and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, next up we have animated feature. Nominees are Flow, Inside Out 2, Memoir of a Snail, Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Most Foul, and The Wild Robot. Mark, what do you have for best animated feature?
So I went back and forth on this one, but I ultimately settled on The Wild Robot.
Abe?
Yeah, this is a tough category for me, too, because it's been pretty split. I am also going with Wild Robot.
Yeah, I'm with Wild Robot as well. It's a big favorite. But Flow is a,
which would be the other one. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I think we're past the point of pick Disney by default, which was, I think, reigning for a little while there, even sure, when it wasn't really deserved. So we'll see what happens.
I think there's almost an effort now to almost not go with Disney, you know, / Pixar. It seems to be focusing more on things outside of that. So
yeah, which is, you know, along with the quality aspect of it, but yeah, it seems like that's,
yeah,
kind of faded.
I love all the love that Gintz has been getting, you know, the small Latvian film that he's been, it's great to see him behind the scenes, like just working on things on a laptop, like on a train. It's like pretty incredible how much he's been able to animate. I also love that it's, while silent, it has a lot of thematic things that you basically can feel. So it kind of bypasses a lot of language barriers for both adults and children.
Yeah, it's a very poetic film. So
yeah,
the fact that it's sort of going down a route that's not like traditional. The Wild Robot is more of a traditional animated film, and it's beautifully done, and I think it will win. But Flow is a little bit more unique. And so yeah. I think that is the kind of thing that might endear it to certain voters.
Yeah. I would also argue that for The Wild Robot, like Chris Sanders, well known. People like his stuff. You know, he's getting Lilo and Stitch remade as a live action movie, quote unquote live action movie. So there's a lot of support for, I guess, both of these, but in different circles. It's kind of weird to say.
Yeah. Flow would be my should win because I just like Flow more. But I mean, I still think The Wild Robot's great, and I do think it will. I think it will take this. It also does have other, you know, it has a sound nomination. It has other things.
Right, yeah.
And international film.
Flow has international.
Or Flow,
film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to jinx ourselves here, but DreamWorks doesn't have the best luck at this category from over the years. So, I mean,
that's a good point.
It helps that The Wild Robot's pretty much the most widely praised DreamWorks film since How to Train Your Dragon 1 or 2, give or take a Kung Fu, wherever those. Yeah, okay. But like, it has a lot of love. So,
and with the exception of Inside Out 2, it is the most, other than that, is the most widely seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah.
Widely seen, and it came out in Oscar season, essentially, compared to Inside Out 2, which is a summer movie. Yeah. So I think the momentum for Inside Out 2 doesn't seem like it's nearly as strong.
I also, you know, I think there is sort of a bias that Oscar voters have when they see that 2 attached to the title, and they're like, oh, Inside Out, sure, I would be happy to vote for that. But Inside Out 2, I'm not so sure. I think I know that I think what Toy Story 3 or one of them did win Best Anime Feature.
3 was a Best Picture nominee also. So
it has happened, but it tends, you know, that would discount Inside Out 2.
All right. Well, next one we have here is Best International Feature Film. Here we have I'm Still Here from Brazil, The Girl with the Needle from Denmark, Amelia Perez, obviously from France, The Seed of the Sacred Fig from Germany, another obvious, and Flo from Latvia. Fun fact, this would be Latvia's first Academy Award if they were
in the film.
Mark, what do you have for International Feature Film?
So I'm very excited to see what happens in this category. I am going to go, you know, I am going to not go with the film that got 13 Oscar nominations, which in any other year would essentially guarantee it would win. I'm going to go with I'm Still Here, which still got 3 nominations, but, you know, I'm going to go with I'm Still Here.
Abe?
Well, Mark, I am also going with I'm Still Here. Go Brazil.
Look at Abe, like, putting the work in this year on the nominations.
What are you talking about? I've been doing this for the last, like, 5 years.
Oh, I was going to say, the last 5 years, you've really stepped it up.
Yeah. Yeah, out of the 14 we've done this podcast. Yeah, you're right. I'm Still Here also.
Oh, wow. I wasn't sure if we were all going to be on the same page.
No, because, I'm with you.
Because if Emilia Perez wins, why would you be surprised? 13 nominations.
Sure. Yeah.
And we know about the controversy. I do have a tendency to think that some Oscar voters actually don't care about that. And they're going to, in fact, some might even vote for it on purpose for that reason. Green Book was a movie that had some controversy. Not as much, but it had some controversy surrounding it in various forms. Mm-hmm. And it still won. So, Emilia Perez did win the BAFTA. I will say this. I actually enjoyed I'm Still Here more. So, personally, I would be happy to see I'm Still Here. I will say this, too. I saw The Seed of the Sacred Fig. I really enjoyed that movie as well. So, I don't think that will win. But this is the only nomination it got. And I think it's a very interesting film, the route that it took to to get this nomination. I mean, it was made in a country that essentially made the guy, you know, a criminal. He had to go to another country, submit it to them, Germany, and they submitted it as their film, despite the fact that this is essentially, for all intents and purposes, an Iranian film.
Yeah.
But it's being presented by Germany because Iran essentially – you know, he's persona non grata in that country, the director.
And I believe that he's still not allowed in the country, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. I think they would arrest him and throw him in jail. So that also is such a compelling story.
Yeah.
But also it's a good movie, too. I mean, it's more than that.
I think, like, very much in line with what you're saying with, like, the political ramifications of things. Like, I'm Still Here. It's strangely brewing up this resistance in Brazil for the alternate party, like the more liberal party, to come back to power. Like, films can be pretty powerful, but I was like, wow, this is pretty serious that these people are almost able to kind of create political campaigns around a movie gaining steam and showing, you know, what happened to these folks. So pretty incredible stuff.
It used to be less easy to predict best international feature because they weren't Best Picture nominees, like, you know.
Right. And so I know what you're gonna say.
So it was, you know, out there because you would think, like, the front runner is gonna win, then something else would, like, take it and be like, how that happened? Sure. The international branch is weird. Now you have a lot of Best Picture nominees, or, you know, at least you have one Best Picture nominee usually that becomes, you know, is one of the international feature films. And by default, it's like, well, of course that would win. It's up for Best Picture. This year, we have 2 Best Picture nominees.
Exactly.
That are up for Best International Feature, which makes it trickier. Amelia Perez, yes, has 13 nominations. It's a powerhouse, so to speak, in that sort of way. I'm Still Here. Didn't get here for no reason. It didn't become a Best Picture nominee and a Best Actress nominee because it didn't do the job just as well as
fantastic.
The other film did. She's Fernanda Torres is amazing in that movie, and it's a very good film. personally, I go with The Girl with the Needle. I think that movie's excellent,
okay.
And I wish it was nominated for Best Cinematography also. But I'm Still Here is very good, and if there, I'm not betting on the idea of controversy taking one down for the support of the other, but I do think, compared to a couple months ago when Emilia Perez certainly had more sheen on it, now the circumstances have changed enough where I think it has good competition, and I'm Still Here could be a good potential spoiler. And again, it's coming from a category that has known to be weird in the past and introduced some new variables when it comes to Best Picture nominees and whatnot. So I think I'm Still Here is a good, it's a good bet. Won't be surprised if it's Emilia Perez, but certainly.
So, I mean, Emilia Perez won the BAFTA, I mean, recently. So there still is support there.
Like 2 weeks ago.
And based on these nominations, I think we already have it winning at least one, if not two awards. So
We'll get to Best Actress soon.
Supporting.
No, you meant actress. She's done nothing wrong. Abe's word.
No spoilers. We'll get there.
All right, let's move on. Let's get to original screenplay. We have Anora from Sean Baker, The Brutalist by Brady Corbet and Mona Fassbold, A Real Pain by Jesse Eisenberg, September 5 by Moritz Binder, Tim Philbaum, and Alex David, and The Substance by Coralie Farget. Mark, what do you have for original screenplay?
Look at you giving the names of the writers. You're so, that's so wonderful. So I'm going with Anora.
All right. Abe?
I'm going with Anora by Sean Baker.
I have Anora as well.
It got the Writers Guild, so that's a pretty strong
strong indicator.
Yeah.
My should win alternate, Real Pain, Jesse Eisenberg. I think that he's got a lot of goodwill with the Academy as well, but also I think that it's a really good foray for him. You know, he's been writing like McSweeney articles and stuff like that too, which he's admitted to doing, but I do think that the writing there is pretty good in A Real Pain. Like, as natural as it sounds.
That would be my should win as well. I thought A Real Pain had a really great screenplay.
I do like Anora's script. I mean, it's on my top 10. Like, I love Anora. I mean, I do like that script as well, just because of what it has to balance through its runtime and how, again, how funny it is. Picking Anora just, for us makes sense. WGA win, that helps.
Right.
It's got a lot of things working in its favor right now. That's probably going to give it the win. I do think Jesse Eisenberg is probably the closest runner up that the film has.
Okay.
All right. Adapted screenplay. We have A Complete Unknown by James Mangold and Jay Cox. Conclave by Peter Strong. Emilia Perez by Jacques Audiard with Thomas Biguain, Lea Misius, and Nicolas Levici. Nickel Boys from Romel Ross and Jocelyn Barnes. And Sing Sing from Clint Bentley, Greg Quidar, Clint Bentley and Greg Quidar for story credit with Clarence Macklin and John Devine G. Whitfield. Mark, what do you have for best adapted screenplay?
My should and will win, Conclave.
Abe?
My will win is Conclave.
I have Conclave as well. I'd absolutely love to see Nickel Boys win.
Yes, that's my should win.
And I'm not quite sure why, but Nickel Boys won the WG, and Conclave was not nominated because it did not qualify, and for reasons I don't quite understand. But the fact that Nickel Boys won the Writers Guild is obviously a vote in its favor.
It's a giant hint towards, if Conclave wasn't involved, this is where we're leaning, which doesn't necessarily mean that Conclave would have won if it was nominated.
Fair point.
Both Best Picture nominees. Peter Stratton's a previous nominee for Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Yeah.
Has a lot in its favor. It's Conclave. I mean, it's well regarded.
Well, and you mentioned this, Aaron, in your review. It's so catty. I mean, it's so, but in such a brilliantly, enjoyable, it's the dialogue. That is the movie. So, I mean, it's got cinematography, that's also there and the score and everything, but it's that dialogue that just snaps.
Yeah. If you're trying to like boil it down to like, what are the elements to highlight for a screenplay? As much as I love Nickel Boys, that's a film that's written less about, you know, how clever the dialogue is, and more about how do you write, how do you transpose emotion into words or whatnot, which is impressive in its own right. But as far as an Oscar voter is looking at, if you're seeing a film that is very specifically written to like have all these characters bouncing back and forth or whatnot, and then you see a kind of a rhythm to it in a way that reflects the film, that tends to get a lot more votes.
So, and not only that, but I mean, good stage direction in a Conclave script as well. So, like, just a lot of stuff, like, just looked forlorn in the camera, start crying. It's like, oh, okay, all right.
I love seeing Sing Sing in here as well.
Sure, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I think that's a terrific movie, and I'm happy to, if they're not going to nominate Clarence Macklin for supporting actor, at least he has an Oscar nomination for writing. So, suck on that.
Take that, Academy! This is our application to becoming members.
Slam it in their face.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we're getting to some of the heavy-hitting categories here. Actress in a supporting role. Monica Barbaro in A Complete Unknown. Ariana Grande in Wicked. Felicity Jones in The Brutalist. Isabella Rossellini in Conclave. And Zoe Saldana in Emilio Perez. Mark, what do you have for actor in a supporting role?
So, despite the controversy, probably one of the most sure things of the Academy Awards, Zoe Saldana, Emilia Perez.
Abe?
Yes, I am also going with Zoe Saldana because she's been doing the piña around the N for this awards run.
I forgot the N, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. So Saldana. She's been heavily doing it, but she's won everything. And so, you know, it's pretty much like one of like the more locks of the night, I think.
It'd be one of the biggest upsets of the evening if she lost this award. That's
to sure. Isabella Rossellini?
I mean, to anybody.
That's what Variety is predicting.
I mean, I saw Clay do that.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I wonder if Aaron was in the room for this.
I've talked to Clay about these things.
I was like, really?
I have Zoe Saldana as well, and it's like, yes, she's won every single thing. I think the way she's played it, as far as having to deal
Sophia Gascon.
The way she's handled things versus how Zoe's
navigated it in a way that I think people want to get. And I think they're saying, you know, oh, poor Zoe, she's not a victim of this. This is, you know, something separate. And also, I think it's her performance that also pushed El Mal to getting a, you know, original song nomination and also win. I mean, that scene is electric.
Yeah, I would say the same applies as far as like the substance Demi Moore, as far as makeup goes. I think the song and this are like so together that it makes a lot of sense.
Connected.
And even like, Mark, I know you're lesser on Emilia Perez. I think you'd agree that at least Zoe Saldana is very good in the movie. I think that's
Another thing I will agree about Emilia Perez, it is a very unique movie. I mean, it's doing a lot of things, so I have to at least give it credit for like, well, it's not boring. I mean, it's presenting something unique that we haven't seen before.
For sure. So, and I just like Zoe Saldana. I mean, I think.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's nice also, you know, she's been doing a lot of, you know, big box office hits.
Right.
Here she's doing something indie. I think the narrative is kind of nice too. Like, oh, you know, let's give her this award for all of her work, you know, kind of thing.
I think about that too in terms of the collective whole of her work. I mean, she's been around since she was a teenager doing all these like, you know, different roles.
She's
there.
One of like when
TV
they
TV too.
When like, they try to tabulate like actresses and how much box office they have, I think she's ups. She's like near the top.
Absolutely. She's part of like major franchises.
She's got two Avatars, two Avengers, and a Guardians.
Star Trek too.
Star Trek.
She's basically been a part of all these blockbusters.
She's putting up numbers.
And again, she's doing like prestige TV on Paramount Plus, you know, like she's always turning in the work. So this, like, I agree with you, Mark. It could just be, you know, thank you for being you. And here you go.
Right.
That show rocks, by the way. Lioness.
She's fucking ferocious. That show, Like some of those clips are circulating on social media. You're like, wow, geez, you know, like put her in Zero Dark 30.
I'm not all in on everything Taylor Sheridan, but that show I watch and it's like, everybody's hard on this show.
Yeah.
I guess she's my should win as well. I really like Felicity Jones and Brutal. Like I talked with you, Abe, about.
Yeah, I remember. You think that she actually brings a lot more than what a lot of other critics are saying.
I mean, she's up for an Academy Award. I think critics are saying something.
No, but I mean, like, I think that you're very much in that camp. She actually lifts a lot of the second half.
I'm going to go on record. I mean, should win Ariana Grande. I mean, first of all, I wouldn't even call her a supporting actress. Yep. She's a co-lead.
Yeah, so, same with Zoe Saldana.
exactly.
Are we talking about category fraud here, fellas?
No,
hasn't happened in the Academy Awards ever.
Right. So, you know, at least Isabella Rossellini and Felicity Jones and Monica Barbaro are actually supporting.
Sure.
But yeah, Ariana Grande, I thought, I mean, she was so, I mean, along with Cynthia Erivo, yeah, the two of them were like,
We loved her performance.
High wire performance.
And I think she impressed me in a way that, you know, I mean, she's a young woman and, you know, you wonder is she up for the part? And she had this like ability to convey this like sort of superficiality, but in a knowing way. And then she had to go through several, like, she doesn't like her, then she does like her, then she doesn't like her, you know, back and forth. It was convincing.
Yeah, but Zoe's singing and dancing, Mark.
Well, I like Zoe Saldana, so I will applaud her win.
Yeah. True.
All right. Actor in a supporting role. Yuri Borisov in Anora. Kieran Culkin in A Real Pain. Edward Norton in A Complete Unknown. Guy Pearce in The Brutalist, and Jeremy Strong in The Apprentice. Mark, what do you have for actor?
Okay, so if there's anything that's more of a sure thing than Zoe Saldana, it's Kieran Culkin winning this award. Yeah, and again, another what I would call a co-lead with
Jesse Eisenberg,
but yes, Kieran Culkin, A Real Pain.
Abe?
Kieran Culkin, A Real Pain.
Same. Okay, so we're all on the same page with Culkin. I don't think
I have a different should win, though.
Yeah, who do you think should win?
Guy Pearce.
I would agree.
Who absolutely demolishes the role. And I think you and I talked about it so much that like this is a role that he basically inhabits this character. He's ferocious, but also you can tell that there's a lot of emptiness in his brain at times too. But Guy Pearce is fantastic in The Brutalist. Like he is the catalyst for a lot of things that happen in that movie. So he's very important.
I'm happy to just see him getting recognition for being a good actor because he's very solid. That said, there's no reason to predict anyone else that could win this because it's going to be Kieran Culkin. But I could see Edward Norton picking something up here. Like,
interesting.
He's so good in A Complete Unknown.
Like, he is, yeah.
In a way that's probably like it's like too subtle to win an award probably. But like he's also just been around long enough where it's like people like Edward.
He's also wearing a prosthetic nose.
His hair pulled back.
The voters like when you wear makeup.
He's just looking at the doing this for the past few days of trying to settle on my picks and everything. Again, I never didn't have Culkin, but I was just really thinking about Ed Norton in Complete Unknown to watch some clips. Okay. It's like he's so good in that movie.
Well, and so Edward Norton is the very definition of a role that he doesn't look like he's acting, but then at the end of the film you think, wow, Edward Norton was really good in that movie, you know. Uh-huh. I like that when I don't feel like, you know, Al Pacino, when he appears, he's acting and you feel it, and nothing against that. But Edward Norton, this was so subtle, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
All right. Actress in a leading role. We have Cynthia Erivo in Wicked, Carla Sofia Gazan in Emilia Perez, Mikey Madison in Anora, Demi Moore in The Substance, and Fernanda Torres in I'm Still Here. Mark, what do you have for actress in this leading role?
So this is going to be a very exciting category, probably one of the most, undecided of the night. I'm going to go with Demi Moore for The Substance.
All right. Abe?
I'm also going with Demi Moore, The Substance. She's going to give a shout out to Bruce Willis, and everyone's going to applaud and cry.
I would go with Demi Moore as well. Madison came on, early on it was like, oh, she might be this new ingenue
going
to win, front runner, and she won a BAFTA the late stage here, but Demi Moore won SAG. That's the actors. They all said Demi Moore. She's got this incredible narrative that is boggling my mind because it's not like Demi Moore has ever been like an Oscar nominee or like an Oscar kind of actress in the past. And suddenly it's like it's her time. Like for like what did we look her over for? But regardless, she's made it work because she's giving great speeches.
She's giving great speeches.
She seems like a generally very nice person. I have nothing against Demi Moore.
Her campaign has been great,
and she is great in The Substance. Like that's the other.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And again, the themes of The Substance relate to Demi Moore as an actor. You know.
Yeah, sir.
So. Like, I totally get it. But, I think it's going to be you know, I agree with you that maybe I never thought of her, you know, whenever I'm watching something like Indecent Proposal, and be like, wow, she should win an Academy Award someday.
But she was in A Few Good Men. She was very good in that. And even in the movie Ghost, which, I mean, nobody considered her, but she is still, I mean, that's a, I mean, it's an enjoyable, people love that movie. It's still, you know, so I mean, she, you can name 10 great films that Demi Moore was in that it's people true. Remember. So yeah. it is going to play into that, you know, yeah. I think
I certainly agree that there is, like, you know, you could recognize that she was an A-list star, but I wouldn't. Right. I'm not trying to come down on Demi Moore. It's just more.
No, I know.
I'm coming down more on the people that have acted like it's as if we forgot how great she always was. I'm like, she's yeah. good. I don't. She never.
Yeah, right.
She's never she's that good. Actress before. Right. Like. Anyway,
she we was all part think of the, I mean, she was part of the Brat Pack. She did a lot right, of those, yeah. you know, 80s,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, a lot of yeah. actors that are okay. That's right, the yeah. Brat Pack, yes.
But, you know, like, you know who's going to be mad if she wins? Glenn Close. Where's my thank you, Hollywood?
But yeah, I will
say that this is the narrative is a little bit like Jamie Lee Curtis winning last year, because she also won SAG, and then Jamie Lee Curtis winning that award. I think that was the first nomination she, or sorry, 2 years ago, it was the first nomination she ever gotten, and then she won, and it's sort of the same thing. I mean, Demi Moore has never been nominated, but she's been acting for a very long time, and you know. It just seems like this the narrative that is there, and also. The only thing that's against it is that The Substance is such a bizarre movie. Uh-huh. There are some people that might look at that like, wow, that's such a violent horror movie. I didn't take to it.
Sure.
So that would be the thing against it.
I think the precedent there would be like Natalie Portman wins for Black Swan, which is like a disturbing psychological horror film also.
Pretty small movie too.
It's not as gross as The Substance is, I get you.
Sure. Yeah.
But I know where you're coming from, Mark.
Kathy Bates in Misery. I mean, that is a horror.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And that was a shock when Kathy Bates won for that movie. I don't think anyone was predicting it.
Mikey Madsen, obviously, you know, very well liked as well, has a BAFTA.
Yeah, a lot of awards this award season.
Has that kind of like young energy that
Ingenue, she's yeah, the yeah. Marissa Tomei, you know, yeah. kind of.
Yeah, narrative. If it happens for her, it happens great, you know, but I know that the Academy is also just like, let's wait a little bit too. It's kind of unfortunate.
Or the Academy doesn't care at all about anything. It's like, Carlos Sophia Gassad, we got to pick her for Billy Perkins.
Oh my, please no. Talk about sinking your own ship. Well,
the way the ratings would spike if that happened.
Well, Twitter would have a meltdown.
I think I'd start drinking right away.
It'd shut down. Like, Twitter would just be gone. It'd be like,
it would explode. Yeah.
It'd break the record that Ellen's selfie made.
Oh my gosh. How many of those people can talk to you now?
Also, just since we're naming all the people, I mean, Fernanda Torres, I think her performance is kind of what pushed this film into a Best International Film nomination. So, and Best Picture for that matter. Yeah. So, that's a big part. And then, of course, Cynthia Erivo in Wicked. I mean, she was also, you know, very good. It's a strong category.
Despite the actions of Carlos Sophia Cazón, I do think it's a good performance in the movie. It's just like, oh, this is...
Yeah,
like,
it's not pretty.
The pride that comes from, we nominated a trans... And now it's like, well, also...
Netflix is backing away from all the marketing materials. You know, she's going to be there. She's going to be at the Academy Awards, so...
Which is every rare. It's not every Oscar. Every right for her to be going to the ceremony.
Totally. Yeah.
It'll be weird when they show close up shots and her table's empty. That's not true.
They're in theater seats, Aaron.
Yeah.
She's gonna be sitting next to like seat fillers.
She's the one. The seat where the pillar is in front of her. No, it's the one seat where there actually is a table. It's just by her.
She's by herself in the back. Yeah.
But Fernanda Torres, by the way, would be my should win. I do think that's an incredible.
That's an incredible performance. Yeah,
there's no one else there supporting her. Like she's the film. There's
other. Oh yeah,
I wouldn't be
she
mad.
Makes the movie.
I wouldn't be mad about that or Mikey Madsen. So.
It'd be that'd be a crazy upset if Fernanda Torres took it. Like, oh my god,
I'd be delighted. Yeah.
All right. Next category: actor in a leading role. Adrian Brody in The Brutalist. Timothée Chalamet in A Complete Unknown. Coleman Domingo in Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes in Conclave, and Sebastian Stan in The Apprentice. Mark, what do you have for best actor?
I'm going with Adrian Brody for The Brutalist.
Abe?
Adrian Brody, The Brutalist.
Here we go. I have Timothy Chalamet.
Because of SAG?
Complete unknown. It, SAG is not a, it's a good reason.
It's not enough.
He,
it's a good reason for me.
You won one award. I like it. Please explain.
It.
I'm going to explain. I'll explain right now. The last time I saw something like this happen was when we were all cheering that Michael Keaton was going to win an Academy Award for Birdman. We were all super happy.
Had a speech ready and everything.
Had a speech ready. He was he had the acclaim of all the year. Michael Keaton. He's back. He's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then little Eddie Redmayne comes out in a wheelchair as Stephen Hawking, and this young guy who didn't do much of anything else gets a SAG award, and next thing you know it, Michael Keaton's putting that speech back in his pocket, and Eddie Redmayne is Jupiter ascending up to the stage, and he knows
it. Yeah, I get it.
That Oscar. Does that ensure me that Timothy Chalamet is going to make it? No. However, the other thing, that AI talk is, I'm not saying that that affects my thought, but in terms of Academy voters looking at things or whatnot and being like, this guy's performance was altered by this thing that I don't understand quite, but I'm going to have a reaction.
You're talking about Adrian Brody?
His speaking Hungarian.
I don't think that's...
He is Hungarian descent.
I don't think
he speaks a little bit of it, and it just enhanced the way that his pronunciation.
It's regardless of what the situation is, because I don't care.
People think about
but
AI.
But as far as that goes, I'm not saying that this is a huge factor that suddenly changed the entire game.
Right.
But if I'm looking at the actors saying from SAG, all uniting and saying Timothy Chalamet gave the best performance of the year, I don't think that's nothing. And if there's going to be a spoiler, because it's weird to think that all of this is going to go exactly to plan.
Sure.
Adrian Brody's been cruising through pretty neatly. Of the acting categories, if there is a spoiler, and if I'm trying to try to win this thing, this very important Oscar pool that we have, that we're all the stakes are
the
super
only
high,
thing that matters. Yeah,
and you know, Abe will write me that big check that he owes me.
That's right, on a 3-foot by 5-foot card.
That's the only one that I'm looking at that seems shakier to me compared to actors, supporting actors, supporting actors. Actors, the only one we're like, that could do it. Maybe Timmy comes in. Yeah. Adrian's won one already. Timmy Chalamet's really good.
They would both be like one of the youngest actors.
He's also coming off two hit films. He's coming off Wonka and Dune. People like Timothy Chalamet. I don't think people like Brody that much by comparison. But we'll see.
Go ahead, Mark.
So Adrian Brody did win the BAFTA, and that's a pretty good indicator. Also, I wasn't even a huge fan of The Brutalist. I should say I wasn't a huge fan of the second half of The Brutalist. Mm-hmm. However, I will not deny that Adrian Brody is that movie, and he is so transformative in the role in a way that I would say I liked A Complete Unknown better as a film, but I think Adrian Brody did more as an actor in that movie than Timothy Chalamet. Well, I mean, Timothy Chalamet did a lot. And in fact, the fact that he learned how to play the guitar and all that has gotten a lot of play.
And harmonica, yeah.
And yeah, so that is going to help him in this sort of, narrative of him possibly winning the Oscar. Yeah. But I got to go with Adrian Brody. I just think he was such a major part, in the same way that Fernando Torres is such a major part of I'm Still Here. That is Adrian Brody's movie and his, thing. I just.
Here's my other.
I think he's Adrian Brody has won a lot of things. I'm not going to list all the other things because I know you'll discount some of these awards, but BAFTA is probably the most, major.
Yeah,
I don't have to discount the Globes. The Globes discount themselves.
That's the one. That's one of the ones I'm talking about. I didn't even want to say
here's the other thing that I have though.
Okay,
there's a lot of actor races that usually come down to two, and more often than not, when you have an original character versus someone that's playing somebody that exists in history. History always wins, whether it's Sean Penn versus Mickey Rourke, the Theory of Everything versus Birdman. There's something about the recognizability of I know what Bob Dylan is. This guy's new to me. Bob Dylan tends to win that argument for whatever reason. Yeah. That's the other part of my logic. I'm not saying it's ironclad, but it hasn't proven me wrong in a long time.
A complete unknown in the list of Best Picture winners. It's third in the biggest box office hit. So that obviously helps,
also true.
Too.
It's one of the biggest, he's Timothy Chalamet by default, one of the biggest movie stars we have right
That's
now.
That's right, yeah. I think that actually accounts for a lot of things, too. Adrian Brody, I agree with Mark, he carries that movie. Like, it is Adrian Brody on Adrian Brody's shoulders. He has won everything except for SAG, which is, again, I was surprised. If you watch the SAG clip of it, Chalamet surprised that he won. You know, he's wearing like a leather suit with a green shirt and a bolo tie. Like, he's not even wearing a full tuxedo.
Should.
Exactly. No, totally. I love Timothée Chalamet. He's a ball knower for real. And he is like what you're saying there. He's like a legit movie star. I loved his speech at SAG too. Like, it's really like you just put himself out there. And I think that the confidence, I think voting would have closed by then, though, right?
It closed earlier, yeah.
So. Yeah, exactly. So voting would have closed by then, but that did throw me for a loop. So I wouldn't be mad if Timothy won at all. Like, I do think that he's, you know, good in the movie, but I would think that, you know, sort of the same thing that we were talking about with leading actress with Mikey Madison is like, would they give it to Chalamet at this young age? I don't know.
The difference there is Mikey Madison is relatively new. Chalamet's okay. been at the, he's a previous Oscar nominee. Like,
that's
he's,
true.
He's
yeah.
been doing this.
Yeah.
That's it. This category rules. Like, as long as I pretend Sebastian Stan is nominated for a different man and not The Apprentice, I like every single one of these performances. Really,
I like that he got himself on the ballot.
I'm happy Coleman's here. I'd love to see him win. That'd be my would win. That'd
so
be my should
that
win.
Would be my should win. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ray Fiennes is obviously Ray Fiennes, so like
should have won for Grand Budapest Hotel.
Should have been nominated for Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, he wasn't even nominated.
He wasn't nominated. Yeah,
should have won.
Insanity.
Yeah,
and when you look at that year, like
I watched Conclave and I was like, this is basically Grand Budapest grown up. He's talking to Zero again.
Let me because I need to do this. Let me look at this
2000
year.
And
the 87th. It's literally 10 years ago.
87th. Whoa, sheesh.
Yeah, we have. It's the year we were just talking about. It's Eddie Redmayne.
It's Redmayne. Yeah,
Steve Carell for Foxcatcher, Bradley Cooper for American Sniper, Benedict Timothy Carlton Cumberbatch for The Imitation Game, and Michael Keaton for Birdman. You could slot Ray Fiennes in that.
You could take out Cumberbatch and Eddie Redmayne and slot
or Cooper. Or
Cooper, I think is good.
He's good. I mean, if one of those
put
dropped,
him on that bulk.
If one of those guys dropped, I wouldn't be sad because Ray Fiennes is in there.
Yeah. But Ray Fiennes. I think that you and I talked about it when we were talking about the Academy Awards that year or when we were reviewing the movie that year. Basically, like, the best performance that year.
And here in Conclave, I mean, he's so good.
Really good, too. Yeah.
And, I mean, easily, you know, it could be that, like, how's Ray Fiennes not win an Oscar? Let's give him one. Kind of.
Yeah, roast. There's this funny controversy recently that where people thought that Ray Fiennes had already won for Schindler's List, which it was actually Tommy Lee Jones for The Fugitive that year.
Right.
So, but regardless, I don't think it should be about whether you've won before or not. And, that's why I think that Adrian Brody could still win.
Sure.
But yeah, it seems like Ray Fiennes should have won by this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Best Director. We have Jacques Audiard for Emilia Perez, Sean Baker for Anora, Brady Corbett for The Brutalist, Coralie for Jay for The Substance, and James Mangold for A Complete Unknown. Mark, what do you have for Best Director?
I mean, this is coming down to two people. I'm going to go with Sean Baker, Anora.
Abe?
I'm also going Sean Baker, Anora.
He won DGA. I have Sean Baker for Anora as well. I do, yep. Yeah. Corbett, Target, whatever. It was Corbett for the 10 years I knew of him.
Suddenly
it's Corbett.
I know. You really pulled a Stephen Colbert Colbert bonus.
It was, you know, him for a while as far as like, yeah, it makes sense. It's a big epic kind of thing. I mean, Anora comes out, wins DGA, and it's like, well, why would I not?
A lot of Guild Awards, that Sean Baker has won.
And he's been, I mean, we talk about navigating this award season. He's been giving great speeches.
Yep.
He's been ignoring all the nonsense that comes with this season in general. He's got a lot going for him, I think.
He locked his controversy down, so it was good. His only controversy was like, oh, he's following all these weird right-wing accounts on Twitter. And then he like locked all of his tweets and everything. It's like, it's fine. But at the same time, he's been giving out really good speeches. His speech that he gave over at Independent Spirits, or was it SAG? One of the
Independent Spirits. He's not talking about
very long. Yeah, it was like a 3-minute speech about how independent film is. People need to put some respect on independent film's name, because not everybody can survive making it, but also it isn't bound by the constrictions that large distributors and large movie houses will make the directors do.
And he gave a shout out to Terrifier 3. So, I mean, I'm all about
that. That's right. Speech. Well, that's got some controversy on its own, too.
Not the movie.
Not the movie, yeah, but the maker, yeah. Dang.
The maker meaning, I just want people to like this thing.
Yeah. I would not be mad at The Simpsons one, mostly just because that movie, Corley Farge got no's from all these people and still made it and put it out there and was like, fuck you, here's my movie. And people loved it. Movie was like, all right, I guess we'll buy it.
It's certainly the most directed. That's for sure. Well, I don't know. Emilio Perez is probably the most directed. Look at these.
Back to Sean Baker, I also, just as a filmmaker, if you look at his body of work, I mean, I was a big fan of Tangerine.
I loved
the Florida Project. Mm-hmm. Maybe less enthusiastic about Red Rocket, mm-hmm. but still a very interesting filmmaker, you know. And he's doing interesting things with movies and stuff. So it's kind of exciting if someone like him to win an Academy Award. He's not like the typical type of person to win. So
right.
And you can guarantee that he wouldn't like take that cachet and be like, now I can make my big budget movies. Like, oh, I'll just make another little indie thing about.
I hope he's just stick with the indie stuff. He's an
indie lifer.
He's doing good in that sandbox, and he should continue to play there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to Best Picture. We have Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked. Mark, what do you have for Best Picture?
I'm going to go with Anora.
Abe?
I'm also going with Anora.
I have Anora as well. It was a long, windy road.
Yes.
Finding out where are we at here, because there was no clear front runner.
It was the front runner for forever. And then all of a sudden it didn't win the Golden Globe. And then all of a sudden it everything fell apart. And I don't know why that.
Yeah. The Brutalist really picked up a lot of steam there too around that time as well, Mark.
Correct. Yeah, but so. WGA, PGA, DGA, I mean,
Critics' Choice.
That's pretty strong. I mean, if Anora does not win, then it's a bit of a shock, I would say.
If it didn't win BAFTA, Conclave won BAFTA. If it had won the SAG Ensemble, this would be over, like guaranteed.
Yeah, SAG Ensemble is also go to Conclave, right?
It went to Conclave as well, which is like.
So it's like.
The SAG Ensemble, I don't give much credit to that. However, BAFTA, I do.
Mm-hmm. SAG Ensemble, I don't give a credit to on its own, but if it piles in with the rest of everything, then there would be no room for anything else, because like it has the actors, directors, and producers all on board. Like, what else do you need? But like, it's also Anora just doesn't. That's not like a SAG Ensemble kind of movie. So like, I wasn't surprised to not see it win SAG Ensemble.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. I have kind of heard that the two race horse here is Anora and Conclave, kind of Brutalist, kind of being a little bit out on the outside looking in. I wouldn't be surprised. Conclave, I get it. People are just like, it's a movie about people that I know from these actors that I've seen for like 50 years of my life. But my should win, Dune Part 2, anoint it. Give it its due.
I mean, I'd go Nickel Boys on that category just because it's my favorite one of the year. Yeah, and I'm sure, Mark, you'd have Wicked as your should win.
So Wicked would be, I sort of gave up hope that had any chance of winning. There is a possibility that Conclave could win.
Yeah,
right. It is. I would definitely say it's sort of more of the old school choice. It's sort of the more universal. I don't know. I think Anora is pretty universally liked as well, but Conclave maybe even more so. Mm-hmm. I just think that Anora, with all those wins, it's definitely the heavy favorite.
Yeah, I think it's sealed its deal. And having the palm from Cannes didn't hurt as well, and that's lined up in the past pretty well as to
And also, like what we just discussed with directing, like great campaigning,
sure. And if I'm looking at the recent Best Picture wins as opposed to, you know, the earlier Best Picture wins, it's more in line with films like Anora when you look at something like Parasite or Shape of Water or whatnot, where it's reflecting of the changing of the guard when it comes to who's voting a Moonlight as well.
But you know, it's funny, Oscar, it swings back and forth. One year it's The Shape of Water, another year it's Green Book, then it's Parasite, then it's
forgot about that.
Coda. So nothing against any of those films, but they definitely speak to different sensibilities.
They do, but I would say the Codas and the Green Books are in the minority by comparison to the 2010s. Like, those are the lower on the rung when it comes to what kind of genre we're looking at, where you have a lot more, frankly, weirder choices going on in recent years, which comes from shaking up the Academy. Like, who's voting in these things?
Yeah, right.
Conclave is certainly... Conclave and like A Complete Unknown are the most like agreeable movies as far as what's up for Best Picture and what you can see. Like, yeah, we all basically like this. We could win, but does that hit the
preference? You would include Wicked in that?
Not in that sense.
Okay.
Not like for like a traditional Oscar winner.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if it was just like big musical, sure, but like big fantasy
like
musical
in terms of like agreeable for all quadrants.
Like, if I'm, you know, on a scale, I'd certainly probably lean it more towards that side, but. If I'm looking at like what the Academy would traditionally vote for, a Conclave makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Unknown makes a lot of sense. Nowadays, even The Brutalist makes a lot of sense as far as if you just say like the outline of it.
Remember that year that we're all like, I guess that we'll just all choose 1917 to win.
And then Parasite just dominated.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Four Academy Awards.
Well, all right. We're betting on Anora.
We did it.
For picture here. And that brings us to the end of our 23 nominations. I have all locked in on my sheet here, so I can't change them anymore.
Can't change mine either.
Every year I tell myself I'm going to not care as much. Like, I'm going to just like, let me just do this and get it done. And then I'm like sitting here like, but best original score, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just sweating for no reason.
Like, listen to all of them back to back to back to back.
So we'll see what happens. With all of that said, obviously the three of us have a lot of films all selected, a lot of samesies, so we'll see what these final scores are. But if we, in the event of a tie, if we for some reason, you know, some one of us, two of us, three, even all three of us have the same number at the end, we need to have a tiebreaker. So we need to predict now, how long do we think the Academy Awards ceremony is going to last?
Yeah,
just to make it clear, the Academy Awards ceremony takes place on March 2nd, this Sunday. It's hosted by Conan O'Brien. Is he going to run a tight ship? Yay for sure. We can talk about that in a second. For sure. But is he going to run a tight ship or not? Like, what are we thinking here? What have we've let me pull this up, actually. Just give us some frame of reference. Run times for the Academy Awards. All right. I'll go with this for now.
Okay.
The most recent ceremonies have clocked in around 3 hours and 20 minutes to 3 hours and 40 minutes. So we've certainly had long run times.
Right.
The average, you know, 3.5 hours. With all that in mind, Mark, do you have a guess for what you think how long the Academy Awards are going to run this year?
I was going to guess 3 hours and 33 minutes.
33 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
Let me write this down somewhere. Mark, is that 3 hours, 33 minutes? Abe, how about you?
Mark, you one downed me. I was going to say 3.34.
3.4 minutes.
See, it's such a... Going first is such a...
It's a good place to be in.
Not good. Because you can...
Well, if I said 3.32, then you'd like, you know, it'd be nonsense.
I know. Then I essentially...
No, do it!
I essentially lost then.
No, I'm just going to go with tighter ship. I feel...
I like it.
Okay. I'm going to go 3.23. How about that?
Oh, okay. All right.
3 hours, 23 minutes.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just gonna say that you're wrong, but that's all right.
You want the longest? I think you always predict the longest.
I don't want the longest one. I'm just saying that, like,
I mean, you chose it. You have the longest one.
Yeah, but I've chosen definitely like 3 hours and 40 some odd minutes before, where I was like,
You've chosen long ones, is what I'm saying. So we'll see what happens.
That's true. Yeah. All right.
These are long movies. I mean, so you got to tell a lot of story,
and they're gonna have a lot of clips. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, we do have the Academy Awards ceremony hosted by Conan O'Brien on Sunday. Just in a general sense, Mark, are you looking forward to the ceremony?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't know.
You always are, but does this, what we're getting, does this excite you?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm always hopeful that we'll have a good show. I'm sure there'll be some funny jokes thrown. Well, I'm very optimistic about Conan O'Brien hosting. It's his first time, and I find him funny, so I'm hoping that he is equally funny on this show.
Abe, how about you?
Conan O'Brien is one of my formative comedic presence in my life since I've been young.
Wow. Formative.
So I remember watching a show like when I was like 9, 10, 11.
Oh, wow.
So I'm looking forward to his hosting. I've seen him host, you know, White House correspondence dinners and things like that. So he's not new to hosting for sure. But what I think,
I mean, he was on a talk show for a few years, so
that's true. Yeah. But he's also like the ESPYs and all the other stuff too. So it's not new. Yeah, exactly. But what I think Conan O'Brien actually brings a lot to the table for is the somberness of the evening, that which will be the probably talking about like the fires, and there'll be some things that are a little bit more close to home in terms of like the LA crowd. So I think he's able to balance a lot of those things in a very earnest way. So I like Conan O'Brien a lot.
Yeah, I mean, in a world where so many people project this thing or whatnot, I'm sitting here being like, if we're not getting cable again, thankfully, he seems like a perfectly good person.
Another earnest guy.
I just don't care for his hosting. Yeah. Let's get Mulaney in here. That'd be great. And I didn't even it didn't even occur to me that Conan would be an option. And then it happened. I'm like, this is the best. this is exactly what I want to see. Yeah. So I'm with you, Abe. I'm a very big fan of Conan. That's not me like driving up the stakes. Like, I hope he delivers. It's just more of like, I can't wait to see this. This just makes me just immediately happy. So
I will admit that I'm already a fan. So I'm willing to give, you know, when you're already a fan of someone, you're going to sort of accept a lot of what he does, even if it's not at 100%. So sure. I'm not going to be viewing his hosting with a super critical eye. I'm going to be, you know, if you bring the funny, I'm going to be on board for it. So
I think like one of the last bits that I'll mention is that Conan is also really good at navigating out of like weird situations, whether it be on his show or whether it be something else. So if something doesn't go correctly to plan or something like that, he's going to be really good at just ad-libbing and improving. I think the other part about it too is like Conan, he's had his downs with large TV corporations. So he at sometimes also just doesn't give a shit about something. So we'll see which Conan we get.
There's a superficiality to certain hosts that I won't even name, that I just feel like, oh gosh, this is just such a product of our era. And Conan is a little bit less of that, you know.
He's a lot of old timey sense of humor stuff that he's brought into the modern world that I very much appreciate.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess there's just an honesty to him, I think, that I appreciate.
Yeah, for sure. There's a genuine, like, it's not just that he's going for the laugh, but he believes in the laugh. Like he knows that there's something inherently funny in the silliness that he can bring to something.
Yeah.
And he just wants people to have a good time. That's the other thing.
Yeah,
well, he's on all the time. He likes,
and if they don't,
then we have to throw him off that Hollywood cliff, as we normally do with our hosts that we don't like. That's how it works.
I hate those, you know, the reviews that come out the next day and they like rip somebody apart, and then
the next day it's going to be like the next hour.
What makes it better though is
you're right, Mark.
Whatever reviews he gets on his podcast, he's going to have a ball going over that. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's going to be so much fun to hear him talk about how people regarded his hosting of efforts.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I haven't been invited to the podcast yet, so I'm looking forward to it, Conan.
All right. All right. Well, there we have it. We've done our prediction show, which lasted, of course, longer than I expected. but we have him locked in.
Yes.
So this competition is on. We will see what happens. We will see how much I'll be laughing when Timothée Chalamet takes it all over at the end of the Oscar.
I wouldn't be mad. I don't think Mark and I would be mad.
Well, I will be mad because that means that you got a point that I didn't.
That's true.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is exactly your reaction. Yeah. That should be a reaction.
Yeah. Well, you might win for yuck, Mark.
You might win for yuck. That's true.
Well, that's a given, but you know.
I like your confidence.
I'll be happy for Timothy, but I will be mad for myself in my Oscar. Sure.
All right. Well, before we wrap up here, where can people find more of all of us online? Mark, where can people find more of you online?
You can follow my personal blog, fastfilmreviews.com, and you can also follow me on Twitter, Mark_Hopin.
I am writing at weebentertainment.com and Wise of Blue for Brewing Criterion Reviews. I am also co-hosting a new podcast with my friend Terrence Johnson, friend of the show as well.
Our friend
Terrence Johnson, but my co-host of the new podcast, Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla, which is premiering in March. So right after the Oscars, get yourself ready for the two most important things happening in March.
You spend 3.5 hours watching the Oscars and put on another hour for this new podcast.
Yeah, Abe.
You find more fun stuff on Instagram, abe.mua, and bluesky, bsky.social.com, walrusmoose, hashtag Hollywood's Biggest Night.
This podcast, we have anywhere you can find podcasts, we're on all the socials.
We're online.
You know where our show is at this point. Mark, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Mark. We'll see you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I always appreciate talking about the Oscars.
Speaking of Terrence, by the way, he's going to join us on Sunday. He'll be here for the post show.
Well, don't ruin the surprise.
He was just too ashamed of his horrible performance on the ballot, so he didn't want to get into our competition.
He's traveling right now.
Mark will be joining us, of course, for the post show, and Terrence will be joining as well. So there'll be a lot of opinions to go around as far as how the Oscar ceremony went. But that's going to do it for now for this week's episode. So until then, until Sunday, Hollywood's Biggest Night. So long,
and we'll see you in the movies. That day.